97-1, Spain leads Austria 1-0. That game has the interest of the United States as we go along here. A lot of people wanting to talk Pistons today. We are seriously underwhelmed. You know, Jalen Duren came out and he said, I'm underwhelmed with the Pistons' offer. You know what we're underwhelmed with, Jalen? 10 points and 9 rebounds in the playoffs.
Yeah, he bet on himself and he lost. His value is not where he thinks it is. The Pistons, this is where I'll give the Pistons organization full credit. They came up with a number, and it looks like they're not budging from that number. And at any moment, like the prodigal son, you can call up and say, I'll take the deal. It's been on your desk the whole time.
Blank is the fall of man.
Right.
Pride.
Yeah.
Pride is the fall of man.
It's been sitting on the desk, just waiting for you to sign it. We love you here. We didn't say no slander. They haven't bad-mouthed them. They haven't said, they just went quiet. Team said, hey, you going to make a trade? No. Because they know, Trajan knows, I got all the cards. You'll be back because ain't nobody going to sign you for a four-year, $177 million deal because you're not worth it. Sorry, not sorry, but you're not worth it, and you're not going to get that. Now, when you want to come back to Earth, come on back here, no hard feelings, put on the red, white, and blue, let Mason introduce you, and everybody will be happy again, and you'll become part of the core of this team. Now, I don't think that that's enough. I think they need to do a lot better. I think that they needed to make some greater moves. They didn't. The problem is everybody else in the East did. So a lot of teams that you thought you were better than, I don't think you're better than right now. Now, this is all barring injuries, but Toronto got better. Okay? Miami got better. Philly got
a lot better.
Now, maybe you can make the argument, well, Boston's not that good. I'll give you that. But New York, they're still there. Well, we beat them. Doesn't matter. Couldn't beat them in the playoffs.
You know, I didn't even realize when I gave you my 1-6 in the East, I didn't even have Boston on there. Because they probably aren't on there right now.
Right.
But in terms of 1-6 in the East.
But I look at Indiana, I think because of injuries, I think they're going to be back to being Indiana again.
Who's the team to beat in the East right now? I'm going Philly.
I don't know.
Toronto.
David, Toronto, Bobby, team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
I'm going to still go back to the Knicks.
Okay.
Like the Knicks have shown me.
Okay.
I'm not going to disrespect them like because, you know, in here, oh, he's unethical. Don't care. Jalen Brunson led that team. He showed me everything that they had. OG, all... I'm going to New York.
Unethical. He left $113 million on the table. Please tell me. Please make me aware. Wake me up the next time a Detroit athlete does that so that his team can win.
Yeah, I'm with Rico here. The absolute dominance that the Knicks showed in this playoff run, the finals run, especially against someone that we all thought Wimby was going to take over and they shut him down.
Bobby.
It's Knicks.
Yeah, they had Wimby in the park drawing pictures. Like, yeah, don't show up on the court. Go be an artist, Bob Ross. this ain't for you. Dave, we got any texts.
We sure do. Tex here says, I would be greatly disappointed if this was all the Pistons did. They need a big number two on the floor with Cade. Everything they have done has been a sideways move. That is Mike in Colorado. Now, the text here says, what I'm not understanding is why are you trying to keep a guy here that said you didn't give me what I wanted as far as pay? He's telling you he does not want to be here, so trade him.
Now, anybody interested in Sacramento is not interested in winning.
You finally earned one today.
Thank you.
You didn't. You unethically, you stole one.
Thank you.
That one was earned, so be proud of yourself. When you hit Sacramento, it tells you you have no value. You're just going to one of the worst teams ever and saying, well, will you pay me to come here? I know we're not going to make the playoffs, but at least I'll be rich. So I'm with you. Take the money, whatever they're offering you, because Trajan's not budging, but he realizes he's trying to save you from yourself. The money's going to be here, son. You're not going to get that. You will get this. It's guaranteed. You'll call me, and it's going to be okay. No hard feelings. We'll forget this ever happened.
If they can, obviously, the dumbest rule in the NBA is that making the all-NBA team hurts your team. Dumbest rule. Because your salary goes from 25% of the cap to 30% of the cap. So if your player achieves greatness, it hurts your team.
Right.
That is the absolute worst rule. Cade's going to get his. If you can get Duren in the 30s, if you can get a Sarr, an incomplete player, mind you, in the 30s, you have a chance to build something around them. But if you're talking Duren in the 40s and 50s.
See, we're going to get to that next year. I need more from a Sarr.
Same.
For you, me to sign you in the 30s.
Same.
You're a great defender. You are.
Incomplete player.
Yeah, I need you to be able to contribute on the other side of the ball.
Let's get to Tim in Waterford, who's up next. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good,
hey,
man. Tim.
Good, man. I wouldn't pay Duren more than $100,000 a year or $100 million.
Okay, there you go.
$100 million, not a year, but contract wise, I wouldn't do it. It's sad that our athletes are chasing money bags because we could build great things here in Detroit. And for I overheard somebody say, Cade's not a superstar. Absolutely, he's a stud. He's a stud. He needs another bad boy to play next to him, and we'll be good. I mean, I don't know what these GMs are doing either. I mean, Eiserman's sitting. I mean, if we would have made that Quinn Hughes deal, man, Larkin wouldn't want to leave then.
Yeah, you wouldn't have lost Larkin. And can you blame Quinn Hughes for not wanting to sign a long-term deal? Which is why
absolutely,
he's not here.
I don't blame
you
him.
You can't blame him because
blame him.
What are you looking at the success or lack thereof of the Red Wings the last 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what to expect. I mean, are we going into a winning franchise or are we going into another rebuild? I mean, that's the issue we have here.
100%. And see, Tim, to your point, Kawhi Leonard is willing to go back to Toronto. Why? They took a chance on him. He liked his experience there. What was Eiserman not willing to do? He wasn't willing to take a chance on Quinn Hughes.
He doesn't want to make chances.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Conservative.
You nailed it. You nailed it, Tim. You nailed it. Jay is up next in Detroit. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's going on, Jay?
I just was calling in. I'm with that guy. I'm a little confused about the Cade comment, but I'm going to let that go. But I don't see the Pistons being as bad as you guys are saying, as long as they keep Duren, because I don't have a lot of faith in Cleveland with Harden. I don't have a lot of faith. Who does Miami have other than Bam and Giannis? They haven't put anything around them.
Who do you have other than Cade?
But hold on, Jay. Jay, I'm going to let you finish. You don't have any faith in Cleveland and Harden, but even though you had a bad Harden, they still beat you.
Yes, they did. And but with the moves they've made now, I'm saying with more scoring, it won't be as easy just to double team Cade and get the ball out of his hand. You know what I'm saying?
But actually it will, because you don't have anybody who can create. Like, Tobias is gone. Tobias could create a shot. Who else is going to create
their
own shot?
Tobias is where you're going to go. You don't think that Collins is better than Tobias?
Not a shot creation.
No, not a shot creation. Collins, to me, you throw the ball up at the rim, he can dunk it down. But if you hand him the ball and say, go for it.
He can shoot some threes also.
He does not shoot. Okay. Last thing, Jan,
I'm
going to let you finish. No. He doesn't shoot high volumes of three. He may shoot one or two a game. But go ahead.
Okay. And with Philly... Oh, and Toronto has the same problem. So you're thinking that Kawhi is going to play a whole season? I mean, I don't see two in a row. I don't see that one. And my last thing is with Philly. Jalen, he left. He had his issues with Boston because he wanted to be the guy. But in Philly, you know, Massey's the guy, and Embiid's always hurt. So I don't think it's as bad as. I mean, I want them to make more moves as long as they keep. Duren, I don't think it's as bad as you guys are making it, is all I'm saying.
Jay, you know who missed more games in the last 3 years than Kawhi?
Who?
You ain't got to look that far. Cade Cunningham.
Cade missed more games than Kawhi?
Mm-hmm.
Over when? Oh, you said the last what? How many years?
3 years.
3 years? I mean, that had been mostly this year.
Checkmate, Jay. Sorry, buddy. Appreciate the call. 248-539-9797.
I try.
Tried to help him. I knew Jay was in trouble when Rico made the "I'm getting a headache" look. All right, coming your way next. Our BS meter is pinging big time about this. That's next, 97.1.
So do you think the Pistons missed out? You think they missed out by not being more aggressive in trying to land Jaylen Brown? Understand, if you had to be aggressive, you'd be talking about Jalen Duren and others and other draft capital probably to acquire Jaylen Brown. It would totally remake and revamp this team. It would have changed and gone against exactly what Trajan Langdon said was going to they're going to look at in this offseason. He has been very upfront that they want to build around Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, and Asar Thompson. Those are the three that they're building around. But at this point in time, they also haven't landed that number two guy yet. We're all hoping that the Pistons are going to be able to find. And at this point, it seems like the only way you're going to find that number two guy is to come up with a trade scenario. Does the trade happen this offseason? Or does the trade happen at the deadline next year? You know, I'm of the belief right now it's going to happen next year. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. I don't know if New Orleans is willing to trade Trey Murphy at this point. And, you know, frankly, next year you get to the trade deadline, there'll be other players that'll be up there that we haven't thought of right now or that nobody's mentioning right now. They'll be on the verge of free agency and teams want to get something before losing guys. And it just seems like there'll be a bigger pool to look at in February than what there is right now.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's not over if nothing else happens this offseason. You're right. When the trade deadline comes, there will be more players probably available. And there might not be that long-term fit. That might be a short-term fit, and that's okay. If especially with fans now around here, it seems like they're desperate to try to win a championship right away. That short-term guy, I don't know if it's, I'm just throwing out a name, Kevin Durant, if it's available during the trade deadline where, hey, we just need this guy to come in this second half of the year and help us win a championship. That's a possibility. As of right now in the offseason, we're looking for long-term help, right? We're looking for like the Trey Murphy type of player. But you're right. If they don't get anything done, I'll be disappointed, but I will still hold out hope that you have something to move at, you know, at the trade deadline.
And disappointment is different than being pissed.
Yeah.
Like if Trey Murphy gets traded and you look at what he was traded, if he was just traded for like draft capital somewhere, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm going to get pissed.
Yeah. That'll be different.
I'll be like kind of pissed. I'm like, yeah. What? That's it?
Yeah. I'm not thrilled with what's going on right now, but I can still be calm a little bit and see, all right, hold on. Let's let everything play out before I really get upset. But I think disappointment's eventually going to set in. I just don't want to end up being pissed. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. More of your calls and texts. We continue here. Jim is in Roscommon. Jim, welcome to 97.1. Hey, Jim.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right. I don't understand the being pissed or even being upset with what's happened so far with the Pistons. I think Trajan Langdon has done awesome. And this is what I'm looking at. You got Isaiah Joe, good shooter. That's great, a plus. Sure. You got Collins, to me, upgrade. Two pluses on the best team in the league. And I think that's what most people are missing, is that was the best team in the East. So we've gotten a little better, and we're the best. So I get other teams have gotten better, but Miami getting better with two good players and 12 crappy ones, I'll take what we did. If we get something else, great. Pipe dream, Jaylen Brown, Kawhi Leonard, pipe dreams. They didn't want to come to Detroit, weren't going to come, and I don't think it wasn't that we didn't want to trade for them. I think it was 100% they said, nope, not an option.
Well, Jaylen Brown didn't matter. That was a Boston thing. That was not a Jaylen Brown saying he didn't want it. I mean, Jaylen Brown didn't, apparently he didn't want to leave Boston, but Boston wanted to move Jaylen Brown. They just found the deal easier to go with Philadelphia than to, I guess, go with what the Pistons were not offering. We don't know what the Pistons were offering. And thanks for the call, Jim. He's satisfied with what the Pistons have done. He's happy with what the Pistons have done. I think you got to go back and look at this. Okay, what have they done? They've lost Isaiah Stewart and Tobias Harris. and you're replacing it on your roster now with John Collins and Isaiah Joe. Shooting wise, the Pistons are better off, without question. But you've lost glue guys from the team in Tobias Harris, who everybody effectively called Unk. They love Tobias Harris. It seemed like Tobias Harris loved to be here too. And then you've lost Isaiah Stewart, who absolutely was a team guy, but didn't give you much offense at all. So the net on that is that you're probably getting more scoring from the two new guys than what you did from the two guys that are no longer on this team. But the other side of that is you've lost your rim protector and you've lost leadership. So John Collins coming over here, what kind of leadership does he give? Is it a wash with what he was or what he's going to be with the Pistons and what Tobias was with the Pistons? I mean, I'm not going to split hairs here. If one guy was better than the other, it's not by much. Really, it comes down to what you've added offensively and what you've lost offensively. What they've lost is Isaiah Stewart, which wasn't much, and what you've added is Isaiah Joe, which is a lot. That's great. But how much defensively has this hurt this team? We don't know yet. It remains to be seen. And there's still moves that could happen, but right now it's trending towards a little bit disappointing, but that's just the offseason. Doesn't mean that they can't be a better team going into the playoffs next year because you've got the trade deadline to deal with, and we'll see how players end up getting better or not getting better this year. Not everybody gets better, but you're adding a new piece in Okorie, the rookie they drafted, who they moved up to get. There was a lot of conviction there by Trajan Langdon. That was his guy. Went up and got him. Okay, you went up and got him. What kind of impact is he going to have? I mean, led the ACC in scoring last year as a freshman. That's crazy to think. But we don't know what he's going to be like in the NBA. He's on the Summer League roster. We'll get to watch him play next week or whenever the Summer League starts, right? And then we're going to get all types of excited, maybe too excited about it. At least Doug will, because that's Doug's thing.
He said he was not going to get excited.
Yeah, we know.
He said he was not going to get excited, right, Gator. Come on now.
And I don't care about Tiger prospects. Yeah. Right. I got it.
Well, yeah, they definitely lost defense with Tobias and Beef still leaving the team, but they gained offense. And I think one of the focal points and things that Trajan Langdon was targeting this offseason was, how do I help Cade Cunningham out? At the end of the playoffs, Cade was spent. Cade was playing 40 minutes a night, getting these quick stops and short rests, right? And using real-time rest instead of game rest. And he was playing with a broken rib and a collapsed lung. Trajan saw this. And then he had to bring the ball up the court by himself every single time. And then Trajan's like, enough. I got to get some more floor spacing, some people they respect on the offensive end so they don't just have to double-team Cade, blitz him, force him into these turnovers that he was susceptible of committing. So that's what Trajan Langdon focused on. Now, they are losing defense, but it's not like John Collins can't play defense at all. Now, Isaiah Joe, a little different, but he is athletic and he's a sniper. So like I said, I think the focal point was, how do I get the supporting cast a little bit better, which helps make Cade better?
Yeah, and a lot of people like the word identity of a basketball team. What's your identity? What's this? I don't know if you have to have one, but it's easy to label a team that way, and it makes you feel safe and comfortable to label this team. Oh, the identity of the Pistons, they're tough to play against, and they're a defensive-minded team. Okay. Well, now you've taken away a lot of that with Isaiah Stewart and some of that away with Tobias Harris. So it's going to change the identity of this team, but that change might be, this could be a really good shooting basketball team, which I'm excited to see. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.
Oh, Dylan's gone? Pistons?
We have breaking news, John, not to cut off this conversation. We can get to it when we get to it. Oh. We have breaking news. Pistons have made a move, John.
Oh.
Breaking news happening during our show. Free agent John Collins has agreed to a 3-year, $51 million deal with the Detroit Pistons, sources tell ESPN. The front court addition and a new lob threat for Cade Cunningham in Detroit. What's that do for you?
So a new lob threat. Is this in preparation for a season without Durin?
No, he played power forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly he's a power forward, but it's...
How about this? His three-point percentage, because we want to talk about, you got to be able to play with the SAR, and we think Duren.
Yeah.
40% from three last year on three attempts.
Per game.
Decent volume, yeah. The year before that, 39.9% from three, 37% the year before that. Can effectively space the floor. I think this is the type of player that makes sense for this team in the front court.
And what was the contract? 3 years?
51. That's not breaking the bank by today's NBA standards.
No.
So are we heading down a road where it's this, Joe, okay, keep Duren, re-up Thompson? And how do you feel?
So he's replacing Tobias is one way of looking
right, yeah,
at this.
Is it a better version, younger version of Tobias?
Yeah.
But that whole, that if that's the offseason that I just described.
I'd be lying if I it's a little underwhelming.
I don't think it's going to excite anyone.
Yeah. I think when we started this offseason and charted the course about finding Kate or Robin, we weren't thinking John Collins. And I'm not dogging the player. I think he makes sense for the team. But that can't be the only significant move they make, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a great nickname. Looking at some of the nicknames. Oh, what's his nickname? Duncan Deacon. The Baptist.
Because he went to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
This still keeps the door open for something big to happen. Duren signing and trading somewhere else, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's essentially replacing Stewart's money and Tobias's role. Is that one way of looking at this? Because Stu was getting like 15 a year. He's making a little more than 15 a year.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the starting power forward, I would imagine.
Sure.
So he replaces Tobias. So Tobias, do you think Tobias could still come back in a reduced role as a vet on the bench?
I think that's up to him.
Yeah.
Does he want to stay here and he's made enough money? Because he can get more money elsewhere. Or you shouldn't pay him what he could get elsewhere.
Right.
That's the point.
Right. Yeah. He could be. Is he now the sixth man? Uncle T. Be the sixth man. He'd be Beasley coming off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, not as good three.
Not as good of a 3-point shooter.
But
no
you've
question.
Picked that up in Joe. I think Joe's your. Right now, he's probably the starter, right? And Duncan's coming off the bench.
I don't know.
Or is it the opposite?
I was gonna say Isaiah Joe was a bench guy almost exclusively at OKC. Yeah,
I will say this:
he played like 20 minutes a game.
He used a word in his off or end of season presser: optionality. He continues to create, even with making moves, create optionality.
Sure.
I don't know, like, with these two moves, have they done, are they bringing back last year's core or not? He said he was going to.
Right.
But then you hear this other stuff out there.
Yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with Jalen Duren. I still think they're going to call his bluff and hope to bring him back at the center. And if he doesn't, I still think they can make whatever pivots they want to make.
Sure. Yeah, I think Tom's right. It continues to create options that they can have moving forward while adding another shooter.
John Collins has played a little playoff basketball. He did it with Atlanta earlier in his career. 12 points per game. 7 boards. Again, a little bit of floor spacing and a lob threat. I think he's a complimentary piece.
Yeah.
And we're processing this live. I think he's a complimentary piece. And I think he's a good complimentary piece for this basketball team. But I don't want to blow it up as anything bigger than that.
Which I wouldn't. I mean, okay. It's okay. Yeah. If this is the only move they make, very underwhelming, which I don't think it is.
Breaking news. We get to have breaking news on our show. It's exciting.
I was going to say, is there more?
No. The breaking news is we get to break news.
Huh.
John Collins to the Pistons, 3 years, $51 million, broke within the last 10 minutes here. He'll be the starting power forward at that price.
Yeah.
Guy who can catch oops and shoot threes and play the power forward spot. An upgrade over Tobias Harris? Or very similar.
Very similar. Maybe
just a little different.
Yeah, a little younger.
Okay. Yeah. I said it's a complimentary piece.
Yeah, and is he less streaky, maybe more consistent?
He had 8 20-point games last year for the Clippers.
Which was one more than Tobias had in the regular season, I believe.
That may be true. Yeah. I mean, it feels similar.
Yeah.
So I say this does not really mean anything beyond.
No, it's just still a little, it's a little foreplay before the main event.
Right. I don't think this says anything about what's happening with Duren.
No. I don't think it has anything to do with Duren.
Tech says, I love the Collins signing. I believe this sets up Detroit for a massive trade, and we could move on from Duren. Jordan in a shop. Fellas, Collins just signed with the Pistons. Finally, the morning crew gets some breaking news.
Yep.
Another says John Collins to the Pistons. Is this a good move? Question mark. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, it's a good move. I don't think they're overpaying. I think he brings a skill set they need in the front court. The biggest question on this team is who's playing power forward.
Right, yeah. And he's a taller shooter. So more options in regards to, you got Isaiah Joe, you got Collins now. You still have Duncan Robinson, and we'll see what they do with his contract and if he's still a part of the equation.
I think this could foreshadow Durant is on the move. Sabonis, question mark? No, I think that's... I saw a report yesterday the Pistons aren't interested in Sabonis. I don't think that's happening there. We got a Pistons signing. It's John Collins. 3 years, $51 million. We got a hot day. It's going to be 98. We've been talking to people who got to work in it. Who has it the worst today? Call and stump for your situation. Heat on Trajan Langdon? This text says, evidently the big trade ain't happening anymore. They'll match Durant offers. Collins will replace Tobias. That's our offseason. Kind of disappointing. Says, improved maybe, not enough though, Randy and Livonia.
Well, if they bring back Durant at their number, which I think we all believe it's somewhere around 35, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
I think it still leaves them, as I understand it, plenty to still be able to fit other guys under the cap that could be impactful players.
I think we are starting to run out of space, though, because Collins at 17. It's a little more than Isaiah. They did bring in Isaiah Joe, who makes north of 10. It starts to add up quick.
Yeah.
Well, that's paying Durant 35, roughly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Man, I feel if you're planning to keep Thompson, I don't know how you keep Durant. I just keep coming back to that. When this whole thing, like you add up the puzzle for the entire offseason, how does that make sense paying two guys that have trouble scoring, creating their own shot?
But are we going to go back and listen to what he had to say, Trajan Langdon had to say? Much like we go back with Brad Holmes and we go back to these other, like they are telling us what they're doing. And he said, we're going to build around the big three.
But I just feel like that's a hard fundamental question. Do you believe making Jalen Duren and Ausar Thompson your top two and three paid players around a superstar?
Yeah, what you're saying is the plan doomed to fail from the start?
Right.
If two of the three can't shoot and the two of them directly conflict with each other, they have to be at the hoop to score. And I know who I'm picking. I'm picking the all-defense guy. I'm picking the guy that's our best defender since Ben Wallace. But if they're going to keep them all, it was important that they put the right type of players around them. John Collins is not a star, but they do need a stretch four. They do need a bigger guy who can shoot a little bit and step out. He's 40% the last two seasons.
But the one thing that we have said they needed to add is a second creator. Yeah. They don't have that second creator. John Collins is not a creator.
And don't sell me the rookie they took. He may become that, but not right out of the box as a 19-year-old in the NBA.
But they're a better version of last year's team. Collins upgrade over Harris. Joe upgrade, period, in terms of shooting. We think Duncan will probably stay. Mm-hmm. Is that enough?
I'm going to say no.
It makes it feel like it's East Finals good enough.
It sounds like it's better on the margins.
It does. But we're not done.
I know.
We don't know what the final product is. There's still, like, we're not even 24 hours into free agency.
But we did our topic about what's going to be the biggest sports story of the second half of the year, 2026. Mm-hmm. It's why I didn't pick Trajan, because I was, even though I felt like he might, maybe he'll be the first one to strike, I also felt like this was just as much of an outcome.
We were talking earlier in the show and in the last week about some really big stuff. Kawhi, now he ends up in Toronto. LeBron, most likely going to be Golden State, Cleveland, or Miami. But these were big names that you would plug in and would elevate you into that title contender spot. We talked about Jaylen Brown. If this Durant thing is real and he's looking to go anywhere else, anyone that'll pay him reportedly was interested in Boston, we re-engaged the Jaylen Brown stuff, right? That's a guy who was an all-NBA player, second team, sixth in the MVP voting. We're talking big names. Trey Murphy. right?
Yeah.
We're talking guys who can fill it up and score 20 points a game, who also complement these guys. None of those are going to happen, and it's John Collins. It's kind of an offseason that's it's more of a whimper
right.
than a roar.
It's Marcus Davenport. Maybe not that bad.
I was going to say, that's...
come on, man.
That was not
John
fair.
Collins doesn't deserve those strays.
But Ray Lopez.
Well, we did ask, like, what would the big story be? It's July 1st. Second half of the year is here. What will be that big story? And we were thinking, well, it could be Trajan's different. It could be that he's at the table with, you know, all the other GMs at the Coney Island. And he says, you know what, fellas? I'm going to pay the bill. I'm going to get up. I got moves to make.
Yeah.
And this... If this is the offseason, he is squarely sitting at the table with everybody else. We're looking at other storylines like, you know, the Tarek Skubal saga. Do they lose him? Do they lose him for nothing? The right. Lions, they're going to kick off a big football season where they have a favorable schedule and a revamped offensive line. Could they be the story? Could it be this captain saga getting toxic or being miraculously resolved? Like the story of 2026, the second half. It doesn't sound like it's going to be Trajan in the Pistons.
Well,
again, what's it sound like?
Yeah. If this is the only move they make and they bring back Duren, especially if they have to bring him back at a number that is far greater than we thought that they would, but we'll probably know more within the next 24 to 48 hours about what the destination for Duren is or if he's actually going to be back.
That is the way this gets a major shakeup is if they get pressed on the max and
they have to
match,
make a decision. Yeah.
That's when they get kicked into hyperdrive. What I think is most likely is he'll be back less than the max with the Pistons and his running mate in the front court won't be Tobias. It'll be John Collins.
Yeah. And I just go to, okay, you're adding shooting, which is good. Mm-hmm. But what about that guy that can create his own shot?
Yeah.
That's not what we have yet.
Hello, one and all. We got a newsy day. We'll get right to it. Rico, I don't really know how to say this to you, but I have a rather large postage stamp for Jalen Duren's ass. All I have to do is apply it. So if you could just point us in the direction of Jalen Duren's ass, we'll just slap that thing right on there. You want to go to Cowtown? I'll buy your flight.
I'm going to hope that's a self-adhesive stamp, and I'll just leave it at that.
No, I want him gone so bad, I'll apply it with my own hands. I don't care. I know we're going to get into the whole nuts and bolts of it, but I want to start like 30,000 feet above view. Before you just write this off as, well, it's just a leverage. Okay, there's truth in that. But understand, flirt hard enough. I wish David were here. Flirt just enough. You end up with a baby. If you flirt.
Well, you saw Otto.
Please. He probably had a baby last night with the Tigers winning. My point is, you flirt with Sacramento, and they give you that offer. It is no guarantee you get to come home. You might get boomeranged. So you go, well, what's he supposed to do? He's restricted. Here's what I would tell you. Value winning. Value still making more money than you could ever effing spend. And cut the charade. This is the problem when you're repped by an NFL agent, not an NBA one. This is the problem when you start buying your own bull jive. This is the problem with the CBA that somehow the all-NBA team is this whiz-bang-pow penis enlargement, and now you're somehow due $300 million. None of these things are true. The reality is he's about a $25 to $30 million player a year in today's economy. If he wants 44.5, or heaven help us, Rico, heaven forbid, he thinks he's worth the maximum. Then ready? Postage stamp. Applied with Nona's two gentle hands. I'm serious. I think less of Jalen Duren because Sacramento's a debt sentence. Mm-hmm. Is that money really worth it? Ask yourself that. And then for all of you in Detroit who take immense pride in players who want to win, and the Pistons culture, as we zoom in, the Pistons culture is about team and winning
and dedication to it and the process, if he is so desperate for the extra cheddar that he's willing to potentially sign away his life for it, ask yourself if you really want him here in the first place.
I think you're missing something too, Mike. I agree with you. When I heard that news,
look at him. He is wearing no Eagles hair.
That's real hair. When I heard the news about Duren, I had to think that the Pistons are like, cool. All right, sure. Shop yourself. Come back. Let us know what we need to do. We'll sign it, and you can go. Think about this. Your value is so bad that you have to shop yourself to Sacramento. You're not talking to the big boy teams. You're not going to Miami. You're not going to Boston. You're not going to New York. You're not going to L.A., San Antonio, OKC, saying, hey, guys, you need me to be the final piece to the puzzle. You're going to Sacramento. You're starting over. They're probably the only ones who picked up the phone and said, all right, sure.
Well, they're also one of the few teams that has a couple of sign and trade possibilities that fit. We can get to it. No, and you're right, by the way.
He's aiming so low. Like, you're not even trying to aggressively say, I'm going to go to this team and try to force something because this team needs me so badly.
Yeah.
That they'll make it happen.
Now, again, the Lakers are another team in the mix. We'll see. Here's my point to you. If the Kings or Lakers offer four at 177, do you want him back? My answer is no. Flatly. Now, a sign and trade is a little different. The sign and trade, you can do some different things where he could negotiate a deal and you could sign him above that and then trade him. The point I'm making is I'm with Rico in this regard. When you start whoring around town with the lowest rung, that makes me question who you are. Because it's not as if the Pistons are offering a sub sandwich. Brad. Hey, they're not offering it for 177. What do you think they're offering? You want to have some fun with me and just venture a guess? Is it four at 120? thinking 30 a year?
I was going to say probably around that. I was going to say maybe four at, I was going to say maybe like four at one.
Can you pick a number, 30? Please? Four at 130. Fine. If you are so desperate in the aggregate to get that extra 40, you're 22 years old, you do your job, do you know what you're going to get paid at 26? You might be a $100 million player. Where the CBA could go? Mm-hmm. That makes me think you're a loser. Mm-hmm. So I agree with your point. I'm just raising the ante. I hope that this is my dream. I hope the Kings make an offer, and I hope the Pistons have the wherewithal to go, see ya. Now, sign and trade. I don't share the opinion of Kevin O'Connor, and I know what's coming. People who didn't even know who Kevin O'Connor is are now going to quote him as if he's Jesus himself. I'm not doing this. Oh, Sabonis is a terrible fit with Kate. Cool. I think it's team building. And just because Sabonis isn't a lob threat, Sabonis is one of the top five rebounders in the league. You'd be getting him off of an injury-riddled season, but in general, he's been about 20-14 a night for Sacramento. His shot is streaky, but he can shoot it. I'm taking him, mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask for a first-rounder with him. I'll make the Kings bleed.
See, that's right. That's a win-win to me because you don't want to be here, so fine, go. It's just one of those.
But I want to hear that from the people. I want to hear that from the Piston fans. If he gets four at 177 from the Kings, are you matching? No. Answer, not you, them. I know what you.
I would tell that, hey, Jalen, great negotiation, hell of a deal. And
if you need the math,
here's some luggage for you.
Four at 177 is essentially $45 million a year. The answer is no. It's always been no. 248-539-9797. Now, if you want to bring him back at $44 million a year, doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're goofy or anything. Just we have different opinion.
It's why I said the four at 130 because initially I would have said forward 120, but you know what? You're Cade's boy. You did help us do some stuff. I'll give you a little bit of a reward. I'll sweeten the deal a little bit.
Here's 32.5 a year.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm not paying you anywhere close to $40 million. And yeah, when you're shopping, you're not even shopping at the red light district. You're in the stop sign district. You're in Sacramento. Okay, think about that. If Jaylen Brown said, I want to come to Detroit, and he's talking with Trajan right now, the Pistons are trying to find ways to make this thing work. You went to Sacramento.
And that makes me think less of him. I'm shooting you straight.
Yeah, your value is not what you think it is.
No, I think there's bad advice here. And I also question the player, because ultimately you go, okay, look, let's say he believes he's worth 45 a year. He wants 45 a year. He wants the Pistons to sign him five at something that begins at a $200 million note. Fine. Ask yourself, is that money worth never winning a basketball game again? Never being surrounded by a true all-NBA player like Cade Cunningham? Leaving a city that you're comfortable in, that people actually take up for you, even in times they shouldn't? When you make that calculus and it just becomes about the money, I earn the right to call you a loser. That's losing behavior. And I question whether you want it here. Because to Rico's point, man, there's a lot of fish in the sea. You end up flirting with Sacramento, you get an STD. Well, no part of that. You go to Sacramento as an RFA, you're getting the crabs. That's a problem. Extra money for some crabs? I don't know, man.
Yeah, that ain't deep sea fishing. That's
some teams have a City Connect jersey. They have a syphilis jersey. You don't want it. You can't go to, you can't even flirt with Sacramento on the odd chance they might say yes. That they might, because if you, this is the only way you can do this.
Great healthcare.
If the Pistons have said, do whatever you want to do, we're matching no matter what. Only way I could get by it. But reverse engineer it, Rico. Wouldn't make any sense for the Pistons to say that. They could have just got the deal done at 4-177. Unless, it just makes no sense.
Unless the Pistons were coming in lowballing, because we've heard that their numbers were so vastly different, that he went to the one place that would offer him a lot. And hey, remember when you said this, you got to honor this. Because no one.
Well, you do wonder too. Now, okay, can I nerd out for 10 seconds? You do wonder if the shift from Sabonis to Durin is because they got Acuff and because they will have a Ja Morant-like point guard, that Durin fits that a little better. Again, I don't think it's a bad fit with Sabonis. It's just maybe they want to start over where Sabonis is headed towards 30. Durin is 22, and you just took the future point guard of your team, and you want to put them together. I'm spitballing here.
When I saw that, Mike, the first thing I thought of, and ironically enough, it happened around the 4th of July many, many years ago, was when the Pistons tricked the Chicago Bulls into taking Ben Wallace and saying, you know what? Hey, we got Ben Wallace. Good luck with that.
Yeah, take it.
We're not going
to
match.
I think it'd be a grave error to pay this guy $44.5 million a year. If the Kings truly offer 4-177, your answer should be no. But you guys tell me what you want. You're the paying customer. 248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls next. It's 97.1.